Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host again, James McDermott, and today I have another amazing guest. Everyone, this is Jason Ackerman. Jason is a CrossFit Level 4 coach, the highest accreditation a CrossFit coach can get that I know of. There might be some secret ones. He is a member of the CrossFit seminar staff. Very possible if you've taken the Level 1 seminar, he was one of your coaches. He is also the host of his own podcast, Best Hour of Their Day, and he is the author of the book by the same name. And he has many other credentials that I could list, and I know he wants me to keep going on and on about all of his accomplishments, but we'll talk about them. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm great, James. Thank you very much for that introduction. Yes, let's just keep going through my credentials, my accolades, and then I won't have to talk at all.
Yeah, we'll just keep going, and then I'll just go through the whole bio, and then eventually we'll plug your new book at the end, and then that's it.
We'll be done. It's been great having him being on your show.
Now, first thing, I just realized this actually. Like, we were talking before the show, and you've shaved your beard. This is the first time I'm actually seeing you with this. I don't think we've done one of these Zooms before you shaved it.
Yeah, I think it's been just about a week, so it's over. Coming back a little bit, but
for the vast majority of time that I've known you, you had long hair. Then you had long hair with a beard. Now all of a sudden the long hair is gone, and then the beard is gone, and I don't know if I know you anymore.
The quarantine is professionalizing me.
Yeah, you're going actually the opposite way. How is that possible? My beard has not been this long in like ever.
Yeah, but you're still at the good length. So I had actually had a beard trim and a haircut scheduled for the week prior to the quarantine happening, but my girl that cuts my hair, Amanda, was actually sick, not with corona, but she just called out sick. So it had already been, to the maximum duration that I like to wait. Now throw this in. So my hair is just overgrown, which is why it's like poofy and all that. But the beard got so scruffy that even Roz, who likes the beard, was like, you got to do something about that. Like, you'll get there in another month or two. But right now, you're still in that kind of friendly fire zone. Like, you're still good there.
Keep going.
Well, I was going to say, you introduced me with some great credentials and all that. But for those listening, they don't realize that we know each other very well. You're not just having me on as a guest because of those credentials. I mean, and maybe we are going to talk about that. But you and I have spent... You're the person I spend the most hours with on Zoom.
Yeah, I think so. I taught a lot of classes so far, but you and I, we did a lot of recording on Zoom for the audiobook version of your book.
Still waiting for the approval from Amazon.
Oh, okay, Amazon. So Josh is done doing all the voiceovers?
Yeah, James has helped me numerous times with the other books, kind of getting me uploaded and making sure everything was correct. And it's a similar process with the audiobook, except I assume they're listening to the 40 hours instead of just reading a 200-page book. So it's just taking a little bit longer.
Do you think they're going to listen to all of our commentary after each chapter?
I hope so. I mean, they should. We spent a lot of time on that. I'd imagine, given the current situation, Amazon's a little backed up. However, I will say I've ordered some things, and it will give me this date that's way out in advance, and it typically still comes within 2 days. So Jeff Bezos is earning his billions.
I don't know what happened then. I ordered a tripod like a week into the quarantine, and then I got an email back that I'm not getting that tripod until April 21st. So I still have 7 days to go, and everyone I talk to is getting their packages, like you said, like 2 days later, 1 day later. I don't know what I did.
I ordered something, it must have been Thursday or Friday, and it gave me a date 2 weeks from then, and everything came 2 days later, as typical Prime, and one thing got delayed, and I think it's coming today. I think it was actually delivered already. It's probably outside my door. I got a notification. So, yeah, I mean, that dude is worth his billions.
He is. Well, now, to kind of talk, too, on also how we know each other. We know each other because you used to be the owner of Albany CrossFit. So I met you way back in 2011 when you owned Albany CrossFit. did my summer internship with you, which I talk about in the introduction episode of this show. And then I came back and you hired me on. And for many years, we worked together and drifted off into the sunset with one another into new ventures.
Yeah, you. I think you're one of those people in my life where if, you know, it'd be fun to do like a movie or kind of like a documentary where you can pull out and like talk to the, you know, the fourth wall, as they refer to it as, like the camera. And if someone were like, hey, this dude that's introducing himself that wants to intern, by the way, you're going to know him for the rest of your life. I'd be like, no, come on, not this guy. And then, you know, here we are almost 10 years later. And yeah,
you're going to know him for the rest of your life. And maybe even at the end of your life, he'll be there either holding your hand or closing the trunk on the car. One of the two, depending on how it all goes down. In the movie of your life, who would play me?
Who would play you? Well, assuming we can't play one another, because you still look young. Like, I think if I were going to have you, I would just do the thing where, like, you shave, and now you're the young you, and then you have a beard, and you're the old you. That's a good question. I'm trying to just think, you know, of shorter actors. You know, I can go with, like, a Kevin Hart. There's obviously the difference is there.
I would let him play me. I think that would work out. how about like a Steve Carell?
Steve Carell would play Shy.
Okay, all right. I can see that too.
You're not short. Like, I'm shorter than you, but I'm just trying to, you know, think of actors that kind of fit more of that stature. And I don't know athletes' stature. I could see a Ryan Reynolds.
All right, I could do that. I don't know if he could match the personality. He is a good actor. I'm just gonna go all in. I'm just gonna go with like a Leo or a Ben Affleck, maybe a Matt Damon.
Matt Damon can do it. You know, he played the janitor, and we've talked about I used to take the garbage out. But I still think we go Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart in a serious role.
I like that. Yeah.
You know,
anyone can play anybody now, so that works.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Hamilton, right? There's all sorts of ethnicities playing all sorts of ethnicities, and hey, it's based on a true story.
It is. It is. I'm trying to think of who would play you. This is a hard one.
I would probably, the typical ones are like a Dustin Hoffman, but he's getting a little too old to play me.
Well, I almost say we go the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Because, I mean, like, for those who haven't met you, you're shorter, too. You've got that long hair, the beard. Many people for a long time referred to you as CrossFit Jesus. I say we go the full other way, though. Fully bald, tattooed Rock playing Jason Ackerman.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I go with the Rock. The other one, I don't remember his name, but if you watch the show Lost, did you watch Lost when it was on?
Never saw it.
There's a character named Desmond. And when he was on, everybody would say that he looks like, you know, long hair and a beard. So at least up until I cut my hair, he could have played me, and then we can transition to The Rock.
This might work. If The Rock is listening right now, the movie rights, they're there. Like, just contact us. Let us know. We can make this happen.
That'd be so funny. Mid-movie, just completely changes characters.
they switch. That'd be good. So, Jay, how's training going right now in quarantine?
It's not going well, James.
Have access to barbells and things like that, or are you just all dumbbell and body weight?
Yeah, all dumbbell and body weight. We have three sets of dumbbells, 25s, 35s, and 50s. We have kettlebell, 35, 53, 70, an ab mat, some parallettes, some bands. The one new addition that we do have is a Peloton bike.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
So it actually just came yesterday. Roz wrote it this morning. I'm going to actually hop on later this afternoon. I've never done it. I've done spin. You know, I used to teach a lot of spin at the Core Club, but it's been, I don't think I've taught a spin class since I opened Albany CrossFit in 2007, but Roz wanted it. And, you know, I think it's going to be great to have at home, especially during this time. And she's been using it for almost a year now anyway. We just never had our own. So I'm actually kind of excited by it. You know, if anything I've learned as I've gotten older is you know, diversify everything, but including your fitness training.
Yeah, it's, I think a lot of people are going through that right now and doing things that they normally wouldn't do. You know, I mean, we had reverse burpees pop up in the programming for like the first time in several years. And it's like, oh yeah, that is a thing. It's just a thing that we weren't doing before or paying any attention to. And all kinds of dumbbell moves that normally you wouldn't think to do. Like I know normally, like if I'm going to program dumbbell thrusters, I'm going to be biased right away to program it, you know, one arm, you know, one on each arm or just single arm. And we've been doing dumbbell thrusters where you grab both ends of the dumbbell and press it up over your head. So I feel like everyone's going to come out of this way more creative, hopefully, and thoughtful on the programming.
I think if we're smart, we're going to come out more creative, learning a little bit about programming. We're also going to come out potentially, I don't want to use the term fitter because I'm very biased towards the definition CrossFit that's out there, but I would say definitely fit in different ways, you know, and for me, that looks like longer workouts. I've been doing longer workouts because I don't have the mindset to go hard right now, you know, to do a high intensity workout. So I've been going a little longer. Almost every workout opens up with like 50 burpees because it's my warm up basically. So getting a little better at the body weight movements. And then for me, more stretching and more yoga. I've really dove back into my yoga routine, and if I can come out and I'm, you know, hoping that I'm trying to add lots of other little habits to my day as well, like more reading and journaling and studying. I don't think we'll be, any of us will be able to continue this. You know, I'm spending 8 hours a day trying to better myself. That's not going to happen when the world opens back up. But if we can take a little bit of each, I think that'll be a successful quarantine. And then when we do this every, you know, once a year, like the government will eventually mandate, we'll know how to go into it.
Do you think this is going to be the quote unquote quarantine season going forward, March and April?
I think it's I mean, if I were going to make a specific quarantine season, probably February, March. So you come out, it's spring, it's like flowers, but I don't think, nor do I hope the government's going to do that, but they are saying things about pollution being significantly reduced.
Yeah. Animals coming back to certain areas, pollution's down. You can see the stars at night because of all that stuff going on. It's very interesting. And I bet very possibly more people. All right. Do you think more people are working out and training than there were before? Do you think that this has gotten more people to be active and not just like going for walks and hikes, although that counts? I mean, like at home workouts, they're actually doing push-ups, squats and stuff.
I definitely think more people are exercising. I would say probably the majority of that is in the things that you mentioned, like walking and hiking. I mean, I would often just go outside and walk here in Boulder and see a handful of people. It's a pretty active area, but I mean, I'm seeing a lot now, and I've seen people that are clearly out there trying to make a change in their life. Like I've seen this one dude who's obese, like 500 pounds, I'd put him at, you know, and I think he's probably someone that is like, okay, I'm going to make this change that I've been putting off because I can right now. And I know in speaking to other people, like my parents in Florida, they're like, everybody's just out. It's kind of like we've said, it's obviously this, if we could have planned for this, it could have been handled differently and maybe better, but there are aspects of it that are good for the country. Now, they don't outweigh the bad. Don't get me wrong. But little things like that are, you know, I think are good for the country.
Yeah, I think everyone jokes around with, okay, we're gonna all come out of this prison fit, and it's a funny joke. But also, when you go to think about it, I've never been, but when you're in prison and you're literally in the confines of four walls, you have nowhere else but to look inward and really think about things. Do I have what I want? Have I accomplished what I want? Am I making use of my time, whatever time I have left? You know, and then, okay, I'm going to start doing things now because it's really all I have time for. It just really makes you look at things a little bit differently. And I think people will start to look at the day differently as well. Like people might hopefully start maybe getting up earlier, like figuring out strategies to get this, what they've gotten right now, back into their lives when the world gets back to normal.
Yeah, that was the point I was making. I mean, I've created a 12-step to-do list every day on my reminders. No joke, there's 12 things, and some of them are multi-parts. I'll give you an example. Let me pull it up real quick. So journal is one of them, but that's a morning and evening. So for me to hit that check mark, I had to go morning and evening. Listen to a book, plus read a book. So those are separately. Exercise, yoga, Wim Hof includes breathing and cold shower. So now some of those are quick, right? I wake up in the morning and I take a cold shower for 30 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever. But some of them are longer, like reading. Now, again, and I don't intend to hit all 12 of those every day. And I realize by trying to chase that, it's actually almost defeating the purpose. It's like adding stress. But my goal will be, okay, A, while I am in this quarantine, if I can, one of those things is Spanish, practice my Spanish. If I can come out of this with a better understanding of Spanish, cool. Now, if I can continue that once this ends, even cooler. So just trying to find these little things. And I hope everybody does something like you said, because it's easy to be like, hey, we're in this quarantine. I'm going to watch Netflix and chill out all day. It's hard to find that motivation, which is why I wrote them down, just so I see them all the time.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with doing the Netflix and chill, you know, like I feel for a day here and there, but I also feel like there's a lot of people that are probably doing that like every day. And I know for me, I would get anxious because I'm like, I'm wasting time, you know, like this will end. And I have all this time to get stuff done that I've been putting off for quite some time. And I feel like I should do something now. And I almost feel like it's my duty to do something right now. Like I shouldn't waste this time.
Yeah, I think some people are going to look back in 3 months on this time and regret not having done more. And I agree with you. Every night ends with some sort of, you know, quote unquote Netflix and chill. That might mean YouTube and chill or, you know, watch a movie. But the point is every day, I would say at a minimum, I'm doing that for an hour, more likely 2 hours. So I'm not saying don't relax. I'm just saying almost earn that relaxation.
Yeah, I like that. It's a reward at the end of the day and everything in moderation.
Yeah. And with that being said, no different than intermittent fasting. You know, I get that question a lot. We talk about nutrition. Hey, what is it? What should I do? And, you know, hey, it's typically 16 hours of not eating, 8 hours of eating. But if you wake up starving, eat. And it's the same thing here. If you wake up and you feel like, hey, I just need a day, like this is a stressful time. If that's going to make you feel better and ultimately healthier, you know, chill out for a couple hours at 10 a.m. because chances are you're not going to have the opportunity to do that for a long time.
No, definitely not. And I think I'm glad you brought up nutrition. That's something that I've been trying to focus on. It's definitely not easy being outside of your normal schedule that you spent all this time, you know, wrapped up in. And I know with working for people at the gym, nutrition is one thing that I feel like everyone is definitely struggling with. It was definitely probably the first thing for many to fall by the wayside as soon as this whole thing happened, because everyone had to figure out how to make this work at home, you know, either figure out a new routine or even just figure out their job in general. What are some tips off the top of your head, maybe three things that everyone could do right now with little effort that might help that nutrition outside of checking out Own Your Eating, The Definitive Guide to Flexible Eating, a great book written by two very good looking men, I will say myself.
Yeah, I mean, one of them has been compared to The Rock.
Yeah.
So let's just
leave it at that. And the other, Kevin Hart.
And Ryan Reynolds. So, I mean, you said easy, but this isn't necessarily easy. It's more simple. And that would be, if you've never done intermittent fasting, I would encourage you, now is the time to try it. I would say go with a 16-8, meaning a 16-hour window where you do not eat. You know, that includes your sleep, and then an 8-hour window where you eat. And the reason I encourage people to do that right now is because for many people, it's not the dinners, it's not the breakfasts, it's the snacking. And yeah. And for me, it's you know, the analogy of when I was in college and we'd go out drinking, there was this analogy of breaking the seal, they would call it. And that's like when you're out drinking and you pee for the first time, there was this belief that now you're going to have to pee a lot. I don't know that there's any truth or science to back that.
But I've actually never heard that. So that's, I'm not an avid drinker either though.
Well, I'm not anymore, but in college we were. And it's kind of the same principle with eating. It's like, if you break that seal, you know, you open it up, it's hard to shut it. Where if you just give, I personally, the way I look at my day is I can eat from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that means some days I'm really hungry and I eat at 2 and take it all the way to 10. But other days I don't eat till 6, depending on what's going on. And I might stop at 9, but I'm always getting at least a 16-hour break in there. And I think it's important because it stops me from snacking all day. And it also is proven to boost your immune system and allow your body to rest and recover because it's not working as hard to digest. So
Do you have coffee during that time
yeah,
frame?
Yeah, I mean, I'm drinking coffee right now. And yes, I haven't ate yet. So it's, you know, about 12:30 here. So, you know, this is my second cup of coffee. It'll be my last. I only allow myself 2 cups during the day. And, you know, I'm not really hungry and I'm going to probably work out after this. So I probably won't eat anything till closer to 4 o'clock my time, you know, 3 more hours. So, and I'll probably stop by 8 or 9. So that's just limiting the amount of food I can take in.
No, I think that's good for people to keep in mind, especially if you are finding you're a frequent snacker and maybe your snacking habits have changed from being at night when you get home to like now you're sitting down
all
at your kitchen table doing, you know, paperwork and the bag of chips is still there.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a new time for all of us. So we do have to kind of create a new normal. And if this is your normal, that's okay. You know, you can go back to whatever it is you want to do after this, but my goal is simply to not leave this more than 5. I mean, I'm giving myself a 5-pound kind of window. Like I know the number on the scale and if it creeps up too much, I'll dial it back in. But for right now, it's keeping me in check.
Yeah. If a quarantine season did start become a thing, there should also not be a thing called the quarantine 10 or 20 or 30. Like when you go off to college and you put on all that excess weight.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if we knew this was happening periodically or annually, we would go into it with a little bit of a different plan and different mindset. It's really, I think for most people, the stress of this is just the unknown. No one knows how long this is going to go for. And then you hear, I mean, we were told by the president 2 days ago, we'd be out of this, you know, and then from some people we hear the end of the summer.
Yeah. And you don't know who to believe anymore. And the world is changing. Like I know I don't leave the house much. So like I'm literally just in quarantine, just here all the time. But if I, you know, every like once a week or so I've been out to go grocery shopping and in the beginning it was like normal. Okay. Oh, I'm out. And then recently when I went to go grocery shopping yesterday, I walk into the store and even in the parking lot, everyone is wearing a mask. And I all of a sudden felt like I was an alien on a different planet. I'm like, wait a minute. One, I don't have a mask. Where did everybody get the mask? I've been working on getting a mask. You know, I've heard all these things about the mask. And then going in, I could feel eyes on me. Like I was like I wasn't one of, I was the weirdo. And, but really at other points, if there was one person in the store wearing a mask, they'd maybe be the weirdo or you'd wonder, okay, I'm going to stay away from that person.
Yeah. And I mean, you get on a plane or typically you see someone at the grocery store with a mask. You're like, don't go near that person. Now the one without the mask people are avoiding.
Yeah. And like, I haven't been out. Like it almost felt like I watched Planet of the Apes the other day and like they're in the spaceship and then it crashes and they don't realize what's happened. And then they were walking around the world and the world looks normal. Okay. They're in a jungle and whatnot. And then all of a sudden all the people are different and they're like, whoa, this is not what we expected. That's kind of how I felt. Like I'm stepping out of a spaceship, meaning my apartment, and I'm literally in another dimension, another time.
Yeah. First of all, I haven't left my apartment in 3 days. So I'm right with you. It was beautiful out Saturday in Boulder. Literally worked out with no shirt on and then it snowed the next day. So I've been inside since Saturday afternoon. But yeah, I equate it to like the Twilight Zone. Like human interaction is slowly going to die out.
Yeah, it is weird, you know. And it was weird too. Just the grocery store had arrows at the ends of the aisle. Have you seen that yet? There are some aisles where you can only enter from the end that has the arrow pointing in. and the next aisle over has an arrow pointing the other way. So there's traffic, like, you, so it's a one way on each aisle, and I didn't abide by it. I'm still new to this world, and there was no one in the aisle, and I needed to go to the middle of the aisle. So I just entered, and I was like, I wonder if like an alarm will go off or if anyone's going to come over and say something. And it's just so weird. Like, we're going to all have to adjust to some, I think, pretty new things that are going to be uncomfortable in the beginning. And I wonder how long it'll take for them to become the new norm once we're all out of this.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's, I think part of that is going to be what's mandated. And then part of it is going to be how quick, or if we even do fall back to, you know, our previous lifestyle.
Yeah. And the thing I'm most worried about, of course, is how will this affect gyms? And like, will there be some mandates on like, hey, you can only have 10 people in the building at a time. And we normally have like 15 to 20 people in a class. Like, how is that going to just change everything? What do you, have you thought about that at all?
You know, I've thought about it a little bit. I've talked a little about it. I think there are going to be people that take longer to go back out. But I do think the majority, especially if we look at gyms, which tend to be a younger demographic, they're itching to get back. I think as soon as the government allows it, they're going to be back. Now, whether or not the government then says, hey, you know, X amount of people per square foot, I don't think it's going to be on day one, but that might be something we look towards in the future in general, with be it gyms, be it restaurants, you know, be it libraries. We might say, hey, in an effort to slow this down, should it happen again, we're going to try to, you know, reinforce the 6-foot rule.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, that's my fear, that there will be those regulations and we can't just do things the way we have been, where, okay, any amount of people can come to class or be in the building working out because we have a very large building. Or when we run events, like, okay, you know, there's no cap on that, on how many people can come spectate. But what I do also think, so that's my fear, but what I think is if there is none of that, there will be this huge renaissance on fitness and CrossFit and everything that's going to happen. And I think that there's going to be just a bigger influx of people coming to the gyms to start.
I think the most positive thing that can come from this is people putting an emphasis on their health. And
exactly.
I think, you know, to be truth be told, I've not been watching the news, so I don't really know what they're saying. But originally, this was thought to be for people that were immunocompromised or older. And I know there have been deaths of younger people, but I still think they've found that they tend to have been either immunocompromised or unhealthy and specifically obese. I've seen some things, and again, I don't know exactly what's true and what's not true, where they say obesity is the primary cause of this escalating. So I think people are going to realize, hey, be it the coronavirus or be it just improving my life, exercise needs to become a part of it.
Definitely. And then that'll be important, you know, to have people like us there to help them do it and to figure out a way to transition these people into a new lifestyle. What kind of pitfalls do you think might come of it, though? If any?
Yeah, I mean, pitfalls from people trying to be more active.
Well, yeah, like I'm just thinking of like gyms maybe getting overwhelmed or maybe not making the right decisions. I'm sure there's a right and a wrong way to do it, you know, or even just with returning members, like, hey, all right, we're all off of this. Let's do Murph. Like it's a couple weeks before Memorial Day and everyone's happy, of course. So we're going to all get together and we're going to do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats, run a mile at both ends. I feel like with the at-home workouts that I've been doing, it's maintaining and making sure that I don't slide and regress, but it's still not the same as what it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you pointed out would be my concern. The typical things you hear about CrossFit affiliates, like people are going to get hurt, which, you know, obviously isn't true for the vast majority, but there will be some that don't know how to handle a new demographic of people that come in. And there will be some that, yeah, hey, we haven't been working out. Let's get right back to it. Like, you know, let's not give everyone in the community rhabdo on day one. So just being smart, realizing for a lot of people, if they worked out, it was with significantly less intensity. Very few people were probably doing things like pull-ups and box jumps. So things that have the potential to cause rhabdo are the things that might have been avoided. So just being smart about the dosing.
Yeah, I haven't done either of those things in quite some time. And I know from an intensity standpoint, when I'm alone in my living room, maybe I'll go to the kitchen and grab my water that's all the way over there, you know, and like I'll adjust my dumbbell and spacing of stuff in my living room, and then I'll get back to doing burpees. You know, it's like, it's totally different than when you're around 10 other people and there's someone standing there watching you, you know, even on Zoom, because I've taught so many Zoom classes. Like, I'm like, why are they adjusting their coffee table right now? You know, and then like, I'll yell something, but it's like, it seems like it's just so much easier to kind of just like take that extra couple seconds to do some housework and then get back to your air squats.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So you mentioned something, you know, on boxes being able to handle this when they come back. Do you have like one, as a CrossFit level 4 coach and a member of the seminar staff and someone who's been involved in this for quite some time, what is one thing that a box owner or coach can do day one when their gym opens to make sure that their members are safe, even though everyone's very enthusiastic on coming back?
I would say one, lead everybody through a really good warm-up. So maybe take a little more time in that general warm-up. You know, what typically would be 5 to 10 minutes, maybe pull out to 20 minutes or so. And then be very diligent on the specific warm-up, you know, depending on what the movement is. You know, and with that being said, I would look at that workout and make sure it's, you know, I throw a barbell in there because these people are going to be missing that barbell and have done a ton of bodyweight workouts, but maybe, you know, just something that isn't going to lend itself to rhabdo. That's all I would say.
So like, it's not the day to do high repetition pull-ups and other, or and toes to bar and things like
kettlebell
that.
Kettlebell swings,
let's,
right.
Let's maybe not climb a rope day one, you know, like, maybe it's an AMRAP, you know, that people are longer AMRAP to kind of transition between what we've been doing at home and then coming into the gym and doing the same. And it will be more intense just because of the nature of it.
And then just having that discussion with the members.
Yeah. Help them scale things back and modify. I think that it would be a perfect time for everybody to maybe look into as well. Heavy days a little bit differently. And respect the aspect of heavy days in CrossFit versus strength in a Metcon. Like I almost think that strength in a Metcon wouldn't be the best idea day one or week one on like, okay, we're going to max out our back squats and then we're going to do, you know, pull-ups and burpees, 21-15-9, and then move into part 7 of this workout today. You know, like there's nothing wrong with just a strength workout.
And I think that's what a lot of people are realizing, you know, especially – like I said, I'm giving myself this 5-pound allowance and I'm basically doing 20 to 30 minutes of exercise plus some stretching, you know, call it an hour a day, but at minimal intensity. And I'm still staying about that window of where I want to be. And I've been much looser in my nutrition, you know, with the exception of that fasting, I'm really allowing myself to be very flexible and you know, enjoy myself. So I think it's showing people, It's more about consistency. It's more about the fact that you're doing something every day. But for the average CrossFitter, you don't need to be doing 7 parts. You know, one part with consistency is all it takes to be healthy.
Yeah, the one workout a day, you know, every X amount of days, you have that heavy day in there. You have rest days in there that where you have people. I wonder if maybe, so this is all just speculation. So if there eventually becomes some kind of mandate where you can only have so many people in your gym at a time, it seems to me that the move to do would be, okay, we can't have so many people at a time. People start signing up for days and being assigned days. All right, Jay, these are your 3 days. You can come to Albany CrossFit and you can come at this time and you're with a designated coach that you see all the time. So now there's a higher level of accountability. I know you're coming to the 3:30 because that is your assigned and paid for spot. And because of the way the world is now, there's not a whole lot of flexibility in that. So you have to come for that spot. There's only 7 spots available for every class, whatever it is. And the programming changes as well, where now we're doing a Metcon on some days. We're doing our longer aerobic days. We're doing more, essentially more traditional CrossFit, because we found that, you know, the minimum effective dose is just that. We don't need to be doing all these other things. And you could have assignments at home. And that sounds like James's dream world right there. To make this work versus right now where it's a free for all. You might sign up for a membership and you can come to any class on the schedule. I don't know particularly if you're coming to all those classes, unless I monitor your account specifically. And you can also come in as many times as you want, like 7 days a week, if you wanted to, which good, you're enthusiastic, but that's not the best thing probably for you.
No, and I think we're going to potentially see that. And all that's going to do is, you know, force you to make some changes at the box. How many classes do you run? You know, how many people can you have in the class? And it's going to force the coaches to be better.
Yeah, be more effective and making better use of the hour with less. And right now, it's almost like this is the practice for it, right? Like some of these at-home workouts, like there's not a whole lot involved. So now it's okay. How can you bring value to a class that has very, very little double unders and burpees? And it's going to be, you know, there's a 15 minute time cap, but for most people, it's going to be less than 10 minutes if they scale it right. Like, what do you do to bring value for the rest of that class? And when you can't even be in the room with them?
Yeah, I think it's just forcing coaches to diversify their coaching ability. And I think it's really great. I think, you know, hopefully, we're not going to see this happen where they limit the amount of people in class. But I think if they do, it's certainly something affiliates as a whole will be able to handle.
Definitely. Because we're involved in CrossFit and we do CrossFit. So we're resilient like that.
That's true.
Can we go back a little bit on talking about the heavy days? Can you describe, because there's a lot of people that are going to be listening to this show who are from a weightlifting or other strength sport background. And CrossFit has a reputation at times, I feel, when the barbell is involved and strength is involved, on being maybe loose with technique, or, you know, like the programming is like we described it before, 7 pieces, it's not safe for everybody. So can you talk about what the CrossFit recommendation is? And this is from the top. This isn't what affiliates have decided to interpret it as, you know, what they want it. What the heavy day is, and what an effective way to employ a heavy day at a box would be.
Sure. Let me think of the best way to begin. So, I mean, basically the first thing we would say is everybody needs heavy days. You know, we all have those members that are like, oh, I don't want to go heavy. Or once the heavy day starts, they're done in 3 minutes. You know, everybody needs heavy day. And what does that mean? 80% or greater of your one rep max, whatever the lift is, your back squat, your front squat, your clean and jerk. You know, a heavy day would be 80% or more. And anything prior to that is warming up. So, you know, be it the empty barbell or your 3 to 4 sets to get to that 80%. And then, you know, typically within heavy days, we're doing a total of somewhere between 7 and 21 reps, depending on how that's written out. Now, obviously, a 5x5 might be 25 reps. A 7 singles is 7 reps. But we're looking somewhere in there. And then within there, other ways you can tell it's a heavy day is you want to rest 3 to 5 minutes between sets, and you need to in order to be able to come back and lift heavy for that next set. And, you know, in general, I always tell people, you know, it's heavy when it makes you a little bit nervous. That's what we're looking for. So, you know, you want to take that rest, and you can approach it by going sets across, meaning all 7 singles are the same. You're doing your snatch and you're hitting 185, or you're going to try to go up. So you start at a pretty heavy load of, say, 155, and then you try to go up 5 to 10 pounds per successful set. I mean, that's ultimately a complete rundown of what a heavy day should be and what it looks like.
And I think, you know, you said a lot of really important things within that I think people who haven't been involved at a CrossFit gym, and I would also say a CrossFit gym that does a heavy day the right way, maybe don't realize that that's a full hour of coaching as well. It's a full hour of instruction, of warming up, of really, really focusing on technique, which some people think CrossFit doesn't focus on technique. I think CrossFit focuses on technique almost more than other strength sports do, or at least on par. It might not have been like that years ago, but I think CrossFit is on the level now of being all about technique and doing things the right way. But then, of course, CrossFit also wants what other strength sports want, which is to go heavy. So it's like, I feel like people get on CrossFit for things that they also want in their own training, and because they've seen some videos on the internet of things going wrong. But like, I've seen videos of things going wrong in powerlifting and weightlifting gyms too, you know? So it's, I think it's, what's the old saying? You know, don't throw stones if you live in a glass house, you know? But CrossFit's the easy target because it's the newer sport, right? Or the newer activity, maybe compared to some of these other things. But yeah, I like what you said.
Well, I think the biggest thing is people just see those videos and they see missed lifts. And, you know, CrossFitters were probably one of the first sports to become notorious for posting on social media. So all of a sudden, you have this idea that CrossFit is bastardizing weightlifting right at the same time that social media is taking off. And right at the same time that box owners are putting out a ton of content. I mean, no one was Googling weightlifting before CrossFit. And now all of a sudden, CrossFit was one of the first fitness companies to put daily content out there. And there's, because of that, a lot of bad lifts, I've been a part of those. So,
yeah,
I think it's like anything, there's people that are, weightlifters in general, the Olympic lifters, I think talk poorly about CrossFit at times. But if you look hard enough, you can find people that would call themselves weightlifters that are just as bad. It's just that term of CrossFitter has kind of come synonymous with, funny.
Yeah, like synonymous with like the flamboyant dress, the board shorts, the music. It's like a party, the Kool-Aid, if you will. But I know I've been to plenty of powerlifting meets and plenty of weightlifting meets where the regular house moms at our gym who are doing snatches and clean jerks have better technique than people who call themselves specialists. So I'm confused here, and also, I'm going to be biased because I grew up in CrossFit, so to say, like I was doing powerlifting before CrossFit, but like you said, I had never heard actually of weightlifting before CrossFit. I never knew what a snatch was. I knew all about squat, bench, and deadlift, but the snatch, like if I had seen it, it's like, don't know anything about that. And I don't think I can do that. And I don't have anyone to show me that. I'm not doing that. So I'm just going to squat, bench, and deadlift.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the other thing about CrossFit is we've opened up people's eyes to the importance of these lifts, but they are very technical movements. So you have people that are, generalizing in their coaching, which means, sure, we're not going to be as great as, Glenn Penley was at coaching one of these lifts because he specialized in them. But that would be like asking Glenn Penley to coach somebody on the rower. It would have been pretty bad, right? I mean, you knew Glenn.
Yeah, I he used to row like close to every day. Like he was all about rowing.
Okay, so maybe not the best example, yeah. But you get my point.
Yeah, it's different. And that's why it's good to bring in those specialists. And I think another great thing that CrossFit has done is kind of trying to reach across the aisle, and I think that's like a good quality about the organization or the sport or the community is that when stones are being thrown at them, they were reaching out their hand for a handshake and also asking for help. I think and I know from being involved in both communities that some communities are more stubborn about things than others and being open to new ideas. Whereas CrossFit, it was always about open source. That's the word I'd use. Like there are no secrets. Like, tell us, we want to know, we're hungry for knowledge. Okay, that's how you do it. How do you do it? And mixing it all into a giant melting pot, putting it together.
Yeah, and this is going to, maybe offend some people, but CrossFit could basically create their own version of the USAW and it would put the USAW out of business, right? So, and that's my opinion, but that's...
You mean that's like a weightlifting federation?
Correct. And I've never thought about this before until we're talking about this, but that's what CrossFit does. They don't want that. you know, they are happy that USAW is benefiting. And I would venture to say 50% of people that are, you know, have a USAW level one card or whatever they go by came from CrossFit. Like, I had Mark Bell on my podcast, and, you know, he credits CrossFit for growing powerlifting, for growing the slingshot. Like, you can mock and goof on CrossFit all you want, but it's grown all of these other sports. And yeah, weightlifters not included. Concept two, right? The Crash Bees. I'm sure most of the people there are there because of CrossFit as well, right? Your local 5K, people are showing up from CrossFit. So it's not limited to weightlifting. It's all of these different. It's just that, you know, weightlifting is the easiest to point out a less than stellar technique.
Yeah. I think it's good to see the growth. It's good to see everybody coming together and being friends. And who knows, if someday, if CrossFit was like, you know, we're going to have our own, you know, federation, and somehow it's linked through the affiliates, where if you are an affiliate, then your members have an automatic membership and they can compete through that somehow, you know, like you have to be a member of an affiliate, and CrossFit just does it. I don't necessarily think that would be a bad thing, because it's also competition in the space too, right?
Yeah, and that's competition will grow.
That would cause USA Weightlifting, who has changed dramatically over the years too. Like when you sent me to get my level one way back, you know, many years ago, it was totally different than what it is now in terms of teaching the courses, in terms of what they're doing with the organization. And that was because they switched the person at the top, the CEO. The CEO who's running things right now, he's phenomenal. Like, he's about growth and being friends and progressive ideas. The other guy, not so much. But I think that would still force everyone to rise to a new level. So I don't think there's anything wrong with other competitive things. I don't think there'd be anything wrong with USAW coming out with their own functional fitness, you know, seminar and competing with CrossFit, or something else coming up out of the blue that no one's ever heard about, and to have more organizations out there. And that way no one's kind of an island and the only authority.
Yeah. And I mean, you see that happening. It's just on a smaller scale. But for example, you know, I talked about Peloton earlier, you know, and what started off as just a bike, then went to a treadmill. You know, you go on Peloton app, there's a functional fitness workout where they're using AMRAPs and EMOMs. And, you know, I've taken a couple of those classes with Roz, and, you know, CrossFit is spilling over and people are trying to take advantage of it in a very good way. And, you know, something Coach Glassman has said from day one is the cream will rise to the top. I don't think he's worried about the Peloton's version of functional fitness.
No. Or like things like, what is it? F45. I think that's like another CrossFit type of organization. And they do things that are very different from CrossFit. Like, they're highly branded. Like, if you're going to, like, when you open a McDonald's, it has to look exactly like every other McDonald's and have all the signage. That's what F45 seems like to me. They have rowers and kettlebells, but they're all branded, and they're all, it's all, the layout is exactly the same, and everyone's doing the same workout, I imagine, throughout the world. So one, it's cool with CrossFit that you get all that freedom, but two, these people are doing it a different way, and who knows what will happen in 10 years, you know?
Yeah. I mean, our friend Zone and F45 on Cayman, and, you know, I've been to it. And like you're saying, there's a lot of rules. And I think the reason people get involved in CrossFit, especially box owners, is because there aren't many rules. I mean, we would have broken all of them at all when he CrossFit had there been a lot.
Yeah. And a good place to hear about all that would be your book, Best Hour of Their Day, right?
Absolutely. And like you said, to kick it way off an hour ago, you know, you and I recorded many chapters. So the book has 30 chapters, 30 lessons. And then you and I chatted about each lesson individually. So hopefully, I don't know when this episode will go live, but, you know, look on Audible for Best Hour of Their Day. But if not, it's definitely on Amazon. Also in Spanish now. If you have a lot of Spanish listeners, yes.
Is the Spanish person going to translate and dub over all of our conversations too?
That's the next thing. Sure, we'll get the audiobook translated in Spanish as well.
All right. Yeah, that would be pretty. I feel bad for whoever has to do that. like, but really, it wouldn't be probably that bad. Like, you would just need to download transcripts and have two people sit in the same room and have our conversation just in Spanish.
Yeah, it would be The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Yeah, there you go. I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them spoke Spanish.
I'd buy that book.
I would too. One more thing, Jay, before you go. I'm not sure how much time you have left. I wanted to talk about your 50 rep back squat because, you know, like I think it's a noteworthy accomplishment in strength and all things barbell to talk about. So tell us how the 50 rep back squat challenge became a thing, and then what happened when you did it, and everything.
So, if we're going to the beginning of this, probably 3, maybe even 4 years ago, I was working a seminar in Jacksonville, Florida, and two of my closest friends on the seminar, actually three, Steve Haydock, who's out of Missouri, Todd Asciutto, who's out of Jacksonville, and Katie Powell, who at the time was out of Jacksonville. Now she lives out here in Colorado as well. We're working a seminar, and as standard, we come down for breakfast on day two. You know, whether we're coming down or just getting ready to leave, we're always like, hey, what workout are we going to hit this afternoon? And we try on our best on weekends to hit .com, you know, to hit whatever workouts were up that day or that week, you know, recent times. So the participants see that, hey, we do what we're asking you to do. And the workout that day was 21:15:9 of 185-pound front squats and medicine ball GHD sit-ups.
Yikes.
So you know, we get down there, and Steve and Todd, you know, we talk a lot of trash, but they were genuinely asking, hey, what weight are you going to use for this today? This is the workout we're going to do. What are you going to do? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm going to do 185. It's 185. And they were like, yeah, but, you know, what's the stimulus of this workout? Now, it's important that I put in there, I think for a lot of people, when they get too into CrossFit, they get too deep into the weeds. You know, like, I need to scale perfectly to hit the perfect intended stimulus. So that they said, what do you think the stimulus was? And I said, honestly, if I were looking at this, I would say it should be heavy, but unbroken. You know, 21 reps of 185 front squats is challenging. But it you know, if you're doing it and you're doing in your mind, okay, I'm going to do 3 sets of 7, you're missing the purpose of this. Now, you may get into that set and be like, all right, 16 reps in, I need to rack and take a deep breath before I do the last 5. But the goal would be it's heavy and it's unbroken. So they then say, well, you think you can do that unbroken? I said, yeah, I do. I think I can go 21 unbroken on the front squat. So, you know, the day's going on and we get to the lunchtime workout and they're like, all right, Jay, let's see you do it. Now, meanwhile, they've both decided to scale to 115. So keep in mind, 115 is not the intended stimulus either. That's very light.
Yeah, that's unbroken but light.
Unbroken but light. So they said, here's what's going to happen. We're going to watch you because we want to see if you can do these 21. When you finish your 21 unbroken, as you said, then we'll start. Now, I can't do the story justice. All I can tell you is 21 did not happen. At about rep 14 or 15, you know, one arm shoots out of the front squat. You lose that front rack position. About rep 15 or 16, the other arm's out. I'm just hanging on. And I think I got 17 and I was toasted. 17, I went to pick the weight back up and I couldn't even clean it. I couldn't power clean it. So did I bite off more than I could chew? Yes. But I believe I got closer to the stimulus than they did. You know, and ultimately I finished the workout with 185 and with that weighted GHD sit-up, which mind you, they did at mat sit-ups. So the laughing, the mocking goes on for months at this point, if not years, where, you know, we're into it. And it came up on our podcast. Todd Fern and I were talking about that workout. And I said, all right, that was a lot, but I can definitely do I can definitely do 50 back squats at that weight. And of course, neither of them believed me that I could, which then ultimately became, all right, we're going to all see each other at this CrossFit Trainer Summit last September, and you're going to do it for everybody. And, you know, that day came. And they tried to get me to do it on stage in front of all the trainers, but luckily,
oh, you should have done that.
Dave Castro didn't allow that to happen. But at the time, I was in, you know, I definitely thought I could do it, but I also knew it wasn't going to be easy. And, you know, the end of the day comes and I'm like, all right, Jay, let's go do it. Meanwhile, we had worked out as a group. We did Tabata squats, so my legs were already a little tired. But I load up the bar, my buddies lifted for me so I can step underneath it because we didn't have squat racks, you know, and I did all 50 reps. I think I actually did 51 because I wanted to do, you know, one extra. And, you know, they were certainly impressed by it. But, you know, in retrospect, I think it's an accomplishment. I don't think it's that impressive. I think it's, you know, it sounds more impressive than it is. It definitely made me sore for about a week, and it was definitely worth it.
I don't know. I think it's impressive. I think, you know, because one, that's what, 50 pounds over body weight? What are you weighing these days? Or what were you weighing at that?
145. You know, probably about 145 on average. That's kind of that window I was talking about earlier. So, yeah, it's 40 pounds.
Yeah, so 40. I mean, I think anyone listening, take 40 pounds more than your body weight, put it on the bar, and do, you know, do the reps unbroken and see how far you get. But also, how many reps do you think you could have kept going on? Like you said, you did the extra one, 51. What do you think you had left in the tank?
That's where, you know, we're debating it. I think if you really asked me to push myself like as hard as I could, I don't think on 100 would be unreasonable.
Really?
I know I could get to 70. And then it would just be like, how long am I willing to keep this bar on my back?
So what you're saying right now on this podcast is that we are going to embark upon the 100 rep 185 challenge. I'm just kidding.
You know what? After the quarantine.
After the quarantine, you'll be a little fluffier. It'll help lift that weight.
And like we've talked about, that should not be the first workout you do when you go back.
No, that would be a terrible idea. Yeah. What went through your mind while you were doing these 50 reps? Like, I feel like too, where a lot of people would fail is the lack of mental toughness. I feel like it's a very psychological workout, well, even just before it.
And those are the workouts I'm good at. Like, I'm not extremely fit, but I can grind through. That's why I love 20-minute AMRAPs. I love that. You just have to suck it up mentality. For me, what I wanted to do was get 20 out of the way. And then I was like, okay, you just have to make it through another 20 because you're going to make the 10. So the plan was not to go crazy, but move smoothly. And just as long as I can maintain my heart rate and breathing, I would be fine. And almost like you can, it's almost like monostructural. Like I can do this forever. One rep every, you know, 8 to 10 seconds, you know, because it was a long time. And I think that's where they weren't expecting me to be willing to stay under that bar for that long. Like they probably thought, there's no way you could do 50 reps, but they were thinking like unbroken in 2 minutes, where I was like, no, I'm going to finish 50, but it's going to take me 5 minutes.
Yeah, that would be a mistake to try to get it done as fast as possible as well, I feel. What was your time? How long did it take you?
I want to say it was in the fives. I think the whole video was like 9 minutes, but that included like me finishing and talking and them, you know, getting me riled up. So it was probably 4 or 5 minutes, and you know, it wasn't as painful as I expected it to be.
What else? Now you have, you're good at the mental workouts and you also have a degree in psychology. What advice do you have for people who are approaching a workout that is getting in their head, whether it be something that's like 50 rep back squat, Fran, something they've never done before, like maybe you've never ran a mile before, or even like someone who's like a weightlifter and you just put one more kilo on the bar and you're going for this PR. And really the limiting factor is what's going to happen is the muscle between your ears. So do you have any advice for people?
Yeah. I mean, lifting is a little bit different because at some point it's like, hey, your strength has to be there. But assuming it's something where you can either keep going or, you know, it's just a little longer. I just try to find that like one spot in the workout where it's like, okay, I've won. Now I can finish this. And like I said, for me, it was getting through 20. It's like, if I get through 20, I'm going to get to 50, you know, or it's like, if you're in the middle of Fran, like, hey, get through those. For me, Fran was always get through those 15 thrusters and you're done, yeah. You know, and be it, you know, where you can either step on the gas or you just know, like, I've been here, I can get to the end, you know, but like a 10 round workout, or for those of us working out at home right now for 20, 30 minutes at a time, like know where that is. You know, last week, for example, I just made up a workout. I had a 35-pound kettlebell. And I said, all right, for 30 minutes, you can't put this bell down. and you have to do 5 swings, clean it, 5 front squats, and then 5 thrusters on one side, and then switch to the other. And I was, in my mind, I was like, try to do 1 a minute about. But as soon as I got like 2 or 3 minutes in, I was like, this is a mistake. This is dumb. You know, this is, you know, by myself. I don't think I had any music on, but I was in my mind, I was like, get to, so with the countdown's going. So I was like, get to 20 and then you have 10 minutes because you know, you're going to make those last 10, you know, and it's like any good imam, same principle. I always tell people, or no, imams are good examples where it's like, the first round, it should feel really easy. And then somewhere in the middle, you're questioning it. But that's what, once you get through that questioning part, you know you're going to make it. That's what it's, you're kind of thinking about.
Smooth sailing from then on in. I feel like what you just described is how I, like, I know how the workout should be done. So, like, I'll relay that to the athletes. And then when I go to do the workout, I'm like, well, what if? And that's when I get myself into trouble. I'm like, well, what if I did it this way? Well, it would, you know, I should experiment with it, you know, and then it always ends up being that experimental way is like, that was a mistake. I should have just done it the original way.
For most people, you got me again?
Yep. Yeah. You broke up. I think, for a second.
You know, for most people, that's, but, you know, for most of us, we just need to be willing to, you know, go through that small, dark window, and then you're going to come out stronger on the other side. And especially right now when we're home, I think one thing I've really tried to do is set the workout in advance, because if I give myself any leeway, I'll make it easier and easier. Where, like that 30-minute workout, I said to myself, you're going for 30. And I just wouldn't be. I woke up the next day with sore, weird spots because I was resting the kettlebell on myself. I was like, you're not putting this bell down.
Yeah, knowing in advance what you're committing to helps a lot. How does your strategy change when you're going for a max lift? Like, let's say you're going for a 1 rep max clean and jerk. It's a weight you've never done before. How does your mental game change for that versus something that you just know you just have to keep moving?
You know, that's different because, like I said, you're limited at some point by your own strength, your own ability. But just trying to remember all of your positive lifts leading up to that, just trying to think about all the successes you've had and know that, you know, okay, I'm going for 230. I've hit 225 dozens of times. I'm ready for this. My body's strong enough.
Just casting out all the doubt.
Exactly. You know, trying to even take a moment and envision yourself hitting that successfully helps tremendously.
Well, speaking of lifting, when the quarantine is all said and done, when are you going to do your first weightlifting meet?
Once I get it back into the gym and get my hands on a barbell, let me think about that.
Now, wait, hold on. What are your best lifts? Snatch, clean, and jerk.
Best ever?
Yeah. Or maybe current. Let's say current day.
Honestly, I've not been Olympic lifts lately at all, even before the quarantine. But I'd say best ever, and then what I can probably do right now. Best ever snatch is 185. I've hit that once. I would say right now I'd be happy to hit 165. I know it would come back up quickly, but right now, best ever clean and jerk, I think, was 245. I would say right now 215.
So 215.
Not great, but I can get back there.
Well, so like, and how old are you?
41.
So you're 41, and how much do you weigh?
145.
So you would, to qualify for Masters Nationals, let's see here, you would be in the 67 kilo category, and you're 45, you said?
145.
Okay, so that right there, those numbers you just said, would put you above the qualifying total for Masters Nationals this past year, because you need 166 kilo total. So I wrote down just some numbers.
It's about 340 or so.
So that's the total. And then for Masters Worlds, you would need a 184 kilo total. So you'd have to get those lifts up by about, let's say, 10 kilos or so. Not that bad.
No, I think if I wanted to, I can do that. I just have to commit to it.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah, maybe a goal. And I know a guy that could coach you.
I was going to say, if only I knew a good coach, then I could do it.
I know. I know a guy. I'll call him. He may not be responsive, though. Like, he may not answer. I don't know. But we'll see. I think that'd be a good goal, something different to have on the schedule, you know?
I'd like that. I need a good physical challenge. I would highly consider it once I'm out of here.
And I think, too, you would do well in the competition aspect of it with, like, your background in wrestling and CrossFit. I think you'd be pretty cool and collected in the back room before you went out for your attempts.
Yeah, let's give it a go. We'll see what happens.
That being said, I have been wrong before. So we'll see. Sometimes the people who I think are the coolest in calm and collected end up not being at all. And then I'm like, oh no, I was wrong.
I might freak out a little bit.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jay, for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. This was great. I mean, like I've told you before, it's still strange to not wake up and talk to you every day. And I genuinely look forward to our conversation. So thanks for having me on.
Well, is there anything that you want to plug to the listeners, like your social media? Where can people find you? Where can people get your books, things like that? Tell us about all of them.
Well, we've already talked about the book. I think if you search best hour of their day, I'm probably the first thing that comes up. So if you want to find the book or the podcast, which James has been on a couple of times, please check that out. And then my personal social media is just the Jason Ackerman, not because I'm pretentious, because Jason Ackerman was taken. So the Jason Ackerman.
And I am James A. McDermott on Instagram because James McDermott was taken. So go ahead and follow me if you'd like. Make sure you follow The Barbell Strikes Back on Instagram. Look for our fan page on Facebook. And that's about it. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Thank you again, Jay, for coming on the show. This episode will go up pretty soon.
Cool. Thanks for having me.